As we move to God's Word tonight, I'm going to share something with you. It's kind of a noteworthy day for me, very honestly. I was ordained into the ministry of the Christian Reformed Church back in October of 1973, here in Plainwell, Michigan, Calvary Church. From my first sermon until now, this is message number 4,000 tonight. 4,000 tonight. And so, never thought I'd arrive there. I surely won't get to 5,000. But I've been tracking all through the years from Calvary to Cutlerville to Denver, Colorado, and then 30 years of ministry at Friendship Christian Reformed Church and a significant amount of preaching following retirement from that church. But yeah, this is an amazing day. It's a little bit like somebody crossing the bridge, a certain person, or entering a ballpark, a certain person. For me, I just thank God for the privilege that has been mine for 4,000 times to open the Word of God and to teach. Over the course of the years, I've received various Christian periodicals and I've read articles, some of them so-so, but some of them I strongly agreed with and were so blessed by. And I would take those articles out and I'd put them in a file. I called it a sermon file, thinking someday I may want to put a sermon together based on that thought or that theme, that text. Tonight you're getting the results of that. An article that appeared in Christianity Today some years ago now, it was simply entitled, "Can God Be Trusted? Can God Be Trusted? Reflections on Psalm 91. I would like to have you open your Bibles. We want to read that psalm and then share some reflections tonight, hopefully leaving assured that our God indeed can be trusted. Psalm 91. Hear the word of God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the scripture books and all the chapters, but I'm so grateful that Psalm 91 is in your Bible. It's a psalm in which you call us to trust you. To trust you. And in a day when many people question or doubt you, O God, maybe doubting your power, doubting your providence, questioning your ways, I pray that we may hear your voice tonight, that we may put our trust anew in the Lord, saying, He is my rock, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, the God in whom I trust. In Christ's name. Amen. Perhaps you noted the sermon title tonight, dear friends, The Blessing of living under God's wings. The blessing of living under God's wings. Most of us who are along in life a bit probably have memories of being in our parents' home in a very secure and safe place earlier on in life. As a child, that wonderful feeling of security, being yet in the nest, as it were. Few, if any, worries. Mother and Dad were there. Whatever the need, they would somehow take care of it. Great feeling. Not all children, let me be quick to say, can identify with that. We live in a broken world. And some think back to their childhood. A minimum of love. Virtually no security, no protection. Many of us, myself included, and many today, still have that place at home for which they can be so grateful. They feel so deeply loved. They're safe there. They're secure. Let me mention, there was a truck driver once. I think he was about 50 years of age. He was being interviewed on television. And he was asked the question, this truck driver, if you could be any age you would choose to be, what age might that be? And that truck driver had to ponder for a while, 50 years now. Might he wish to be 65, retirement age, be done with all those miles on the road, all that driving, long hours, all those crazies he had to deal with day by day? Might it be that? Or might he wish to be 16 or 17 or 18? Certain things he did, he had regretted all his life to the present. If only he could live over a certain day or a certain time. Maybe have a fresh mate in life because his marriage had not worked out. Or maybe a new job because he had an earlier job that had been so miserable. Maybe this, maybe that year. And then he came to his conclusion. What age might he wish to be? He says, if I could have any age, I'd want to be age 3. Age 3. And when asked, why age 3? He says, because when you're age 3, you have no responsibilities. No responsibilities. If you're in a good family situation, life is easy. And it's pretty much stress-free. And on the surface, the guy had a point. When you're age 3, you don't worry about ice backing up under your shingles in the winter. You don't worry with a major rainfall that there might be water in the basement. You don't concern yourself with, what is that numbness now in my leg or that sudden pain in my arm? I didn't injure it. What might that be? You don't concern yourself with the stock market going up and down, with all the inflationary pressures, with this and that. No, when you're 3, you sleep soundly. You play freely. You're under your parents' roof, you see, under their wings. And life is good. You feel secure. As I said, whatever the problem issues, they'll deal with it. You don't have to. That 50-year-old truck driver had seemingly made a rather good selection. But there's a problem, of course. Being 3 is wonderful. But no person can remain 3. You move on from there into adolescence, young adulthood, middle-aged life, senior citizens. But even as adults, there's always that need for security, the need to be loved, the need to know that someone is in charge. And that things are going to be okay. even when they don't appear to be okay. God has a word for us, a word of comfort. One of the great themes of the Bible is that God is our shelter. God is our shelter and our refuge. The verse from Psalm 91, our text for tonight, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." The image here, obviously, is to a certain kind of bird. Maybe it's the eagle, known for their strong, strong wings. Or maybe it's a hen or a chicken, known for their nurturing wings. But when an enemy approaches, any bird will spread her wings to protect her young. When there's danger lurking near, the mother cares wonderfully for her young. It's instinctive. The fact is, it is said when there's no enemy, when there's no young any longer, and an enemy approaches or dangers, the mother will still spread her wings. You just do that. You do that. Reminds me of a time in my life, it goes back many, many years. I was raised on a farm near the Zeeland area. On a given Sunday, it was October 20, year 1960, our farm burned down. Devastating fire. We lost almost everything. All of our chicken houses, the hog barn went down. We preserved the house and the car garage. That was it. And so our animals were gone. Devastating loss. 7 children at home. There was the family income up in flames. Many things I could tell you about that, which I'm not going to. But there seemed like there was no life, none. Everything lost, every animal. The next morning, I forget, there were 2 or 3 or 4 little chicks running around. Where did they come from? I suspect you know. There was a mother hen who had spread her wings. And they found safety, security beneath those wings. A mother sacrificing herself. When the fire passed by, the chicks were yet alive. The psalm writer, Psalm 91, he knows the instinct, the behavior of a bird. It reminds him of God. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. You will find safety, security, shelter, love under his wings. I read during World War II in Holland, when the German troops were invading and the bombing planes were drawing near and the sirens were sounding, that parents would take their children in their home to the safest place they knew, usually a hallway. And there they would gather. And there a prayer would be offered. And I read often it was the words of Psalm 91. Praying for God's protection. Prayers for God to spread his wings over them, to keep them safe, to give them refuge. It happened again and again. And again, back to my childhood somewhat during those early years, there were some devastating tornadoes that went through our area with loss of life. We weren't prepared for those, but we made preparation. My father was one in our farm home. He built a tornado shelter in the corner of our basement, southwest corner. That's where we always did that. And then when the sirens would sound, I remember, and there might be an approaching tornado, the entire family would go down into that shelter, that safest of places. And my father would pray. I don't know the words, but essentially praying for God to protect us, to spread his wings over us. And I felt safe being in that place, in the basement, in beneath the wings of God. But sometimes we wonder, do we not? Just how secure are God's people who dwell beneath his wings? What assurance can we have that having prayed for God to spread his wings over us, that then there's no evil will ever befall us? This psalm seems so adamant, does it not? Verse 5. You will then not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. You will not fear. Verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Great words. Great promises. But it sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? And seemingly, it doesn't always fit reality either. We wonder about the Apostle Paul in Acts 16. He prayed for God to protect, and he was thrown into prison. Backing up a few chapters, chapter 9, there was Stephen. Tremendous bold witness for the Lord. Prayed for God to protect. Stones were hurled at him. And then he ended up under a pile, a dead man. And I think about those Dutch families in the hallway. Praying for God to watch over, to protect. And some of them had their homes bombed to smithereens. And families were lost. In tornadoes, we know this. People can have prayed, living under God's wings, but the tornado just doesn't jump over that home or bypass that home. Sometimes there's devastation there. And we know we can leave home in the morning, pray for our loved ones that God will watch over them on the roads, but sometimes the drunk driver doesn't always avoid that innocent one, that prayed for one. And there can be that child in the womb. Oh, a child that's loved before he or she is even born. And then there's a miscarriage. How could that happen? How could that happen? Oh, admittedly, sometimes we act quite foolishly, don't we? We don't take any precautions. We don't observe danger signs. The sign maybe when you go camping, not to feed wild animals. But some people do it anyway. Pay the consequences. Again this summer, red flags flying at Lake Michigan. There's to be no swimming on this particular day. It's not safe, but some people go in anyway. And again, there have been deaths in this year, too many of them. And you know, I think when you buy cigarettes, it says that these may be hazardous to your health. But I know people who buy them anyway, smoke freely. And there's yellow lines on the road, are there not? Where there's hills, and we know why those yellow lines are there. If there's a yellow line, you're not to pass until you reach the top of the hill in the line. But you've seen it, and I've seen it. People pass anyway. They disregard these signs. And I could give many other examples. We do rather foolish things, and maybe we think God will just somehow bail us out. Now, God may do that in his mercy and kindness, but we cannot and we should not count on him doing so. Maybe you recall the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, that Satan used the words of Psalm 91. He took Jesus, you recall, to the highest point of the temple, and he said, throw yourself down, because the Bible says God will give his angels, Psalm 91, God will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. And then Jesus rightfully tells Satan, Matthew 4, verse 6, in us, that it is not right to put God to the test. Basically, he's saying, don't act like a fool and then count on God to rescue you. Please don't use Psalm 91 or any other scripture in that way. But sometimes we act not foolishly, but wisely. We make good choices. We live obediently. We dwell beneath the wings of God. And yet, some have to deal with brain cancer or a broken marriage, perhaps, or infertility. So much evil, so much trial and trouble. And we wonder, what about Psalm 91 and the promises of God there? One writer states, and I agree with him, that Psalm 91 expresses as one of the loveliest and most treasured, but just one of the moods of faith. It's the mood of confidence, extreme confidence in the sheltering providence and loving care of God. Maybe the psalmist, as he writes this psalm, he's been in a very difficult or dangerous situation. Poured out his heart to God, and God rescued him. And he's just overwhelmed with gratitude. He's so thankful. He's so confident. He celebrates. He writes a psalm. He blesses God. Psalm 91. That mood. But in the Psalms, there are other moods reflecting different kinds of days. May I say, darker days. God's saints, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the voice of my groaning, God, where are you? Psalm 42, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you so disturbed or disquieted within me? God's children have had those kinds of days as well. We believe, but in that moment or on that given day, we're bothered, maybe discouraged. God's good children, yes. Psalm 91, the writer is filled with confidence, or shall I say, kind of a quiet amazement. Under the wings of God, good things, so many of them happen to such sinful people, such undeserving people. In other psalms, you find that living under those same wings of God, such evil things happen to such good people. Such good people. When Psalm 91 says that no harm shall befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, I think we must conclude that the meaning of is this, that no final evil, no ultimate evil, no permanent or lasting evil will happen, will befall us. Because we know, we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And we can trust in Him fully. And yet, we can have our heart broken by the loss of a child, or the betrayal of a spouse, maybe, or the onset of a fatal disease, or premature widowhood, or. And yet, for generations, God's dear saints, His beloved children, have known something else in the depth of their heart. In whatever trial or trouble, whatever valley, whatever hardship they had to go through, there was the hand of God that they felt. When they opened the Bible, there was the voice of God that they heard. There was a peace within that could only come from God in that valley or in that trial. And there was the assurance that nothing, I say absolutely nothing, would ever separate them from the love of God. They were loved yet and always deeply by God. They lived under trial, safe, secure, sheltered in the arms of God. Oh, to be a child of God. You may be scared at times. You may be shaken. You cannot figure out what's going on. But as Lewis Meads, one of my favorite authors, says in one of his sermons, we can know yet and always that it will be all right, even when everything seems all wrong. In fact, he's written a book with that title. How can it be all right when everything seems all wrong? And Lewis Meads says, it can be all right if Christ is our Lord and Savior, and God is our Father, and if we dwell beneath His wings. Because the wings of God will never break. They'll never fold. God will never forsake His own. He'll always be near them. Those are wings of love. Oh, my dear friends, the blessings of living under the wings of God. I love the words of that old hymn that says, under His wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil will harm me. Resting in Jesus. I'm safe evermore. Praise be to God. Join me in prayer. Oh God, I pray that all of us, younger, older, may come to live beneath Your wings, covered by Your feathers, and that we may know even in the storms and stresses of life a peace, a comfort, a love, a security that comes and can only come from You. Oh God, bring each person hearing my voice tonight to a personal faith in the Lord, and to that point of trust and surrender where our confession becomes from our heart, the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God in whom I trust. And now we move into a new week, oh God. And it's a week filled with plans, no doubt, and projects, and all kinds of activities that are scheduled. And yet, it could be there are some surprises there too. Even some storms that we don't know about tonight, but You already know they are there. Oh God, whatever the week holds for us, may we come to dwell in Your shelter, to rest in Your shadow, to live beneath Your wings. There may we find peace and joy in Christ. Amen.